Okay, we're going to continue in the Sefer B'Vavi Mishkan Avna. Just to recap a little bit where we're holding, since the Sefer goes in order as we're trying to see and explore here. So last week we talked about the idea of trying to figure out what it means to be Karev LaHashem, what it means to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we explained that in the physical world there's two types of kurva of closeness. There's closeness in physical proximity, and then there's a closeness, a internal nafshias, like friends and relatives have a connection with each other, an internal connection that is not dependent on space or being close physically. It just is that internal connection. And we explained that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's the same way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere in the world, so in space we are in close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the same time there's also the other korva, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Banim Atem, we're his children, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Reyacha, he's called our friend. So there's this connection that we have, that we're relatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also mentioned that it's possible to be in close proximity to something, yet at the same time not realize that the thing is there. So, for example, there's a lot of bacteria and molecules and things flying around this room, and they're all here, but you don't see them and you don't live your life necessarily with consciously of all these things. So it's possible to be in close proximity to something and yet not know that it's there, or not live your life. Even if you may know logically that it's there, you know it's there, but you don't live your life necessarily with that on your mind all the time, and that's how you act. So that is one thing with the closeness and proximity. And the same thing also when it comes to relatives. It could be possible that a person could be around their relative and they don't even know that there's a relative, and they could be actually sometimes in close proximity to those relatives and they still don't know that they have that relation to them. I just want to continue, that's where we'll start tonight, on that point, and that is that he says that a person who is not Omo Rabbis Laker HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who doesn't work hard to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his life, who he calls his Ha'avo HaMitish Aloi, a person's true father. So if you don't work on it, you may know that it's true, but you don't really get to know your father. He says you could have a person who knows that they have a father across the other side of the world, but he never saw his father. So he may know it's true that he has a father, but there's no relationship. He doesn't feel like he has any connection with him. Why? But he is actually related to him, but he has to develop that relationship. And he says the same thing is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We may even know that we are related, so to speak. We have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know it very clearly in our mind, but that's not really having a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not really what we would call being makir, means really getting to know and really understanding the relationship between the person and his father, or the person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's something that a person has to work on to develop, like any relationship. It may start off that a person, the reasons why a person becomes friendly with someone, or a person's related to someone, but you need work to develop the relationship in order to really understand and get to know the person and develop that relationship. It takes a lot of work. So that is how it's possible that in our minds we can know all of these truths. We can know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. We can know we have this connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yet at the same time, our lives are not being lived with the regesh, with the emotions and the feeling and the connection that our seichel tells us is there, but we don't necessarily live our life that way. Now, he just gives an example of what it means to live Bidveikus, are connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this would be perhaps the very from the higher Madregas of understanding what it means to be connected to Hashem, but just as a dogma, as an example of what in our minds, just try to, we're not getting yet and to developing how to do this, we're still figuring out what it means and how it relates to us. So he says as follows, we're going to have in later on in the next couple of parshias, you have the Maaseh Kisa with Yosef and Yaakov meeting each other in Parshas Vayigash, that Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, and after 22 years, so he's reunited with Yosef. So the pasuk says that Yosef appeared in front of his father, Vayipol al Tzavarav, and he fell on his neck, Vayefk al Tzavarav, and he cried again on his neck. So he explains and he says as follows. He says, if you just try to imagine the emotional connection there was at that moment between Yaakov and Yosef, 22 years that they've been looking for each other. Yaakov Avinu's been mourning what he thought was the death of Yosef. Yosef, on the other hand, has been stuck in Mitzrayim through all the trials and tribulations, starting with this week's parsha, next week's parsha. So, and he also has these gagoing, this yearning for his father. For whatever reason, he didn't send the message back to his father where he was. For whatever the reason is, he understood that was the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, perhaps. But now they're meeting. Yaakov finds out that Yosef is alive. Ruach HaKadosh comes back. He wants to go see him again. I want to see him one more time. B'Tarim Amos. He wants to see his son Yosef again. Yosef is waiting to see his father all these years. Tell him how he stood through the tests of everything that he went through in Mitzrayim. And they finally come together. And there's no words anymore. There's no real words. It's just emotion. It's just full emotion as they're embracing each other. As we know, Yaakov Avinu read Krishma at that time, but that's a whole different story. So he says there was a very strong and powerful connection that Yaakov and Yosef had at that moment when they were embracing each other. Yosef has fallen on his neck. If you just think about it, it's very easy to understand. Try to conjure up your mind what that connection they felt, how strongly they felt connected. But that ended after a few moments, or however long it took. I don't know how long that lasted, that embrace. Was it as long as Yaakov Avinu said Kriyishma? How long did it take him to say Kriyishma? I don't know. However it was, it wasn't a day. It wasn't very long, an hour the most. How long did it take that they were just embracing each other? After that, what happens? Yosef goes back to the palace. Yaakov goes to Goshen. They're living their lives. They're still connected. Yosef probably saw his father, even though there is a Medrash that says that Yosef didn't go to Yaakov Avinu. He was afraid Yaakov would ask him what happened with the Shvatim, what they do to you, and he didn't want to say anything. So after this whole business, he didn't even end up going to Yaakov Avinu too much. But the idea is that even if he did go, even if he was there every single day to talk to his father, but that first rush of emotion, that connection that they felt was not something that was able to continue on. It's not possibly the Matthias. Why? Because they're not hugging each other a whole day. They didn't hug each other for the next 17 years, however long it was, till Yaakov Avinu was Nifter. He says, but if you try to think of how strong that connection was when they were hugging each other, he says, that's the connection of a person who is Davuk V'Kasher LaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person who lives his life connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is living a life of Vayipol Al Tzavarov. That connection to Hashem is so strong, it's like Yaakov Avinu and Yosef embracing that first time after all of those years. And that's something that didn't last for them. But for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection, that pnimius, that connection that the neshama could have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something that a person can live his every day like that. Live his life that way. Now, obviously, as we have built up this connection that Yosef and Yaakov had, it's obviously a very strong connection, and this is going to be a very high madrega, but we have to know what the goals are. Even if we're never going to reach that madrega, we have to know what it means. You have to know what dveikus truly means. When you learn in the Ramban, on the pasuk of davak boy, of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you learn Sefer Chayvus Halavavus, and you learn Shar HaBitachon, and he gives you the 10 levels of bitachon, and you get to the highest level, number 10, 10 is a person who lives his life every moment of the day connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the person we're talking about here. Now, does that mean that any of us are, hopefully, well, someone will reach that madrega? But you have to talk about big madregas. You have to understand what is, how it's possible, how far a person can reach in order to at least get somewhere. As many Gedolim said, if you're going to, you know, I don't know, Baruch Ber maybe said something, I think it was him, he said that, you know, when I was trying to grow, I wanted to be Reb Akiva Eiger. So I never made it to be Reb Akiva Eiger, but if I wouldn't have had that goal in mind, I never would have become who I was. It's like an arrow. An arrow eventually comes down, but if you don't shoot for the sky, it's going to just drop right here. If you shoot for mediocrity, it doesn't go anywhere. So it's the same idea. So that's this, he just wants to put into perspective here of how we, there's two extremes that we're talking about here. We're talking about, in our mind, we understand there's Hashem, and we have this connection with Hashem, but at the same time, we're not living a life with Hashem. And in the other extreme, you could have a person who's living his life of Vayipal al Tzavarev, so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the idea here is as well that when it comes to the physical world, as we said, there's the closeness and proximity, and then there's the closeness as being a relative. So you can have one without the other, obviously. I could be in close proximity to everyone, but we're not related to each other. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those two things are really intertwined. And it's almost impossible to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in close proximity if you don't first have that internal connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You first have to develop that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're relatives, and then once you get that, then you'll start realizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually everywhere. You'll start living your life that wherever you go, you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in close proximity. But if you're just going to try and say, oh, I believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere, it's true you believe it. But to be able to live that way is not going to happen if you don't have that internal connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, we're getting close to the end of the first chelek over here. And the basic ideas we've tried to explain in this first chelek is that a person's job in life is to be dovuk b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we haven't yet gotten to the way of how you do that. We tried to explain the idea of what it means to be karov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, it's interesting how this sefer works. Different ideas from before pop themselves in a little bit later, and I just want to say a beautiful vart, and then we'll move on to the beginning of the next chapter. A beautiful vart, it's based on something that we talked about in the beginning. In the beginning we explained that there are Taryag mitzvahs, and these Zayar said that the Taryag mitzvahs are 613 Eitzahs. They're avenues and paths for a person to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as we explained, that in every mitzvah there's the external of the mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah, and then there's the primius of the mitzvah, which really are all connected with each other. So he said a beautiful vart. It's just a nice vart because it's something that that the Chazal, we all know. Chazal say, afilu reikanim shabohem meleim mitzvahs karimayim. Chazal describe, when it comes to Klal Yisrael, that even the empty ones among them are full of mitzvahs like a rimon, like a pomegranate. So the question that everyone asks is that if they're full of mitzvahs, why are they called empty? Why are they called reikam? They're not empty, they're full of mitzvahs. So why are they called the empty ones? They're full of mitzvahs like a rimon. So he says a beautiful vart here from Reb David Pavarsky, Zechayin Levracha, the Rashiv and Panovich. He says, and it just fits in with the whole theme that we've been talking about till now. He says that you can have a person that is full of mitzvahs. He has Torah, he has Chesed, he has Stukka, he has Lulav, he has Esrog, he has Talis, etc. etc. But he says, let's look at a pomegranate. You open up a pomegranate, it's full of seeds. 613, every kid knows. They counted them, I don't know, somehow it's full of seeds. but not one seed is ever connected to the other. They all in their individual little pouches, there's no connection between the seeds. They're all sitting there on their own. So their Malaya mitzvahs karimain. A rimain is full of seeds, but the seeds aren't connected. That's called rekanim shabai. You could have a person who is full of mitzvahs, like a rimain, but if the mitzvahs aren't connected to each other, which is, like we're saying, the pneumius of the mitzvah, that it's supposed to lead one to the next to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's true, so then it's reikon. You're missing the whole yesod of what these mitzvahs are supposed to do. Of course we have the action, but we have to get to the nekuda, to that point, that inner point of the mitzvah that unifies every mitzvah, that common denominator is dveikus b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's afilu reikonim shem le mitzvahs karimain, that's this vart, that the rimain is full of seeds, but the seeds aren't connected to each other. And if we want to make that we should be able to be Davuk BaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to make the use of each mitzvah, getting the pnimius out of the mitzvah, like we've said, and that will help us to come to the dveikus. So that is the end of here of the first chelik of the sefer, and it's sort of a hakdama. So now we're going to move on. We'll start the next part for the next few moments. And he says, and he continues, this part is called Emunah Sheyesh Bara'olam, the belief that there is a creator to this world. So he says that after we've established that a person's tachlis and purpose in this world is to be davuk b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says now we have to start figuring out a derech hachayim, a way to live, how a person could live in this world in a way that is going to bring him to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says that we're going to talk about very simple things here, dvarim pshutim, things that we all think and we probably know that we know them already. But he says, if a person really understands what Avodas Hashem is all about, and Avodas HaAdam, the tachlis of a person, is a person has to work on the simple things, the things he knows already. That's the beginning of Mesilas Yesharim. The Ramchal writes that I'm not writing any chidushim here. Because I'm not writing any chidushim. I'm writing simple things everyone knows, but you have to chazer them. You have to be able to internalize them. Very often, it's the simple things that fall to the wayside because they're so simple you never develop them. You know, the Mefarshim all talk about, especially when you learn the Parshias, let's say Bereishis, you know, the Parshias of Bereishis and things like that. So you learn all the Parshias of Avraham Avinu and his tent and the four doors and all the things, and people don't develop their yediyos and those stories past what they learned in first grade or in second grade. Why? Because these are simple things, simple stories, and that's it. And a person could be 35 years old and he still has the same understanding that he had in second grade. In Parshas Mishpatim, Parshas Kedoshim, in Parshas Truma, all those Parshas, oh, those you understand. You got to delve into them. You understand the time of mitzvahs, the halachas of the mitzvah. The person understands it. But the simple, the stories, those things are stories. And yet, and it's a tragedy if a person doesn't really realize that if my understanding of things is still at my second grade level, then I'm very far behind. And the reason is because they seem to be such dvarim pshutim, and sometimes they are dvarim pshutim, and a person really doesn't develop them. So we're going to talk about things that are seemingly pashut, and hopefully they are pashut, but at the same time I think that what we're going to develop from here and on is going to how to be take those dvarim pshutim, like knowing there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, like I'm connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm related to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but taking them to the next level and seeing how I could use them to the best of my Avodas Hashem. So he says as follows. The first thing we have to understand is that there's a creator to this world. There's a Bari Olam. Now, obviously, to hopefully everyone, that's a Dover Pashut. That's a Dover Pashut. You don't have to tell people who are Ovdei Hashem, people who are Lomdei Torah, people who are Shomer Shabbos, keeping mitzvahs, we're Maminim B'nei Maminim, we keep the Torah. Everybody knows there's a Rabbeinu Shalom. Everyone knows there's a Creator. But it's not enough to know it. A person has to work on this nekuda, to work on this, to understand it, and to internalize it. So a person will say to himself, okay, what do you want me to do? I know there's a creator. Like, what more could there be than knowing there's a creator to the world? So he says as follows, he says, I'll give you a simple mashal. Simple mashal. You have two people. One person wins the $20 million lottery. $20 million, he won the lottery, he bought the tickets, and he heard his numbers, unbelievable. He says, that person, the guy who won, what is on his mind 24 hours a day? Whether he's eating, whether he's drinking, probably whether he's davening or learning as well, whatever he's doing, there's one thing that is on his mind, he can't get past it. And that one thing is, he won the lottery. He can't get past that. That is constantly on his mind. He's living every moment of his day with this idea that he won the $20 million lottery, what he's going to do with the money, how he's going to collect the money, whatever goes into the cheshbonos. But one thing is, it's a constant on his mind. He says, but you have another guy, his friend, who didn't win the lottery. He knows he won the lottery, he didn't win the lottery. Now, he doesn't walk around the whole day thinking about the $20 million lottery. Why not? They both know that this guy won. So, but the guy who won, this is his life. The guy who didn't win, it's very nice, I know my friend won, but I don't live my life this way. When I'm eating, I'm drinking, I move on because I didn't win. He says that's the difference between a person who knows that there's a Bayir Olam and a person who lives with the Bayir Olam. You can know there's a Bayir Olam just like I know another guy won the lottery. I think about it every once in a while. Every couple times a day, maybe I see him in the street, it reminds me, wow, he's lucky he won the lottery, and then I move on. When I'm involved in my things, I don't think about it. A person can know there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but when he's involved in his own things, he's eating, he's drinking, his business, he's not thinking about the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The person who won the $20 million lottery, he can't get it out of his mind. He can't sleep at night. He dreams about it. He wakes up with it. He goes to sleep with it. Everything he does is with this conscience on his mind. I won the lottery. A person who really knows that there's a Bayir Olam in the world, a person who lives with that emuna of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, every moment of the day, he's cognizant of the fact that there's a creator to this world. It's not just knowing it, it's living with it. Person has to live with that every moment of the day. That's the difference between a person who knows there's a Bayir Olam and a person who lives with the knowledge of a Bayir Olam. So just with that idea, we can now ask ourselves the question, do we really know that there's a Bayir Olam? What to work on in this nekuda, this little simple nekuda that there's a creator to the world? There's something that we could all work on, because I can't imagine, to speak for myself, you don't live your life that way, you don't live my life every moment of the day cognizant of the fact. You come to davening, you're forced, so to speak, to recognize there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Other times in the day, you get a hakara that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You know, he doesn't say this, but I've said this many times, and it's always a good thing to know, part of the takana of reciting 100 brachas a day was to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Remind yourself that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world 100 times a day. Now, you don't have to do it this way, because most people don't break up the 100 brachas into even increments throughout the day. We're yaitzar 100 brachas with many during Shacharis and Berachas HaShachar and all these things. It doesn't work that way, but if you just, for a mashal, if you think about it, so if you have a person who's awake for 12 hours of the day, right, so 12 hours of the day, and so that's 700 times 60 minutes, it's 720 minutes of the day the person's awake, right? So if you divide 100 brachas into 720, so what do you end up with? Every 7.2 minutes, the person has to remind himself this is a Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So Chazal had such big confidence in our memories that there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every 7 minutes we need another reminder. You know, your wife reminds you to take out the garbage like twice an hour. You're ready, Hakmanish and Chayanik are ready. You think I don't remember? But Chazal said, in the world, you need reminders. We need lots of reminders that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. Every 7 minutes we're all able to forget that there's a Rabbeinu Shalom in the world. Someone who is living true emuna, a person who is living connected with HaKadosh Baruch throughout the day, and he's a person. Now, it's not as we're saying, it's not knowledge in your head. It's feeling it and living it. And that's something that needs to be developed. If it's just knowledge in your head, you're right, you forget about it, then you get reminders, and then you forget about it again. Being davuk b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not knowledge. Being davuk b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a way of life. Living cognizant of the fact that there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam here every moment and every action that I do. So the first yisoid of avodas Hashem and the avod of a person is that a person has to, and his lashon is lachush, to feel b'chol levavoy mamish, with his entire heart and being, sheyesh b'ayre la'olam. Then you could start figuring out how to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You first have to figure out what you're connecting to. If you don't know what you're connecting to, you can't connect to it. So first person has to first figure out that there's a Bayre Olam. And not figure out, I have to live my life that there's a Bayre Olam in the world. Then I can figure out how to connect to this Bayre Olam. But at first, that the first Nekuda Pshuta, as we're saying, is a person has to develop this idea that he doesn't just believe there's a Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he lives that there's a Bayre Olam in the world. And if he lives that there's a Bayre Olam in the world, then we could start trying to connect with this Bayre Olam. Connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be davuk and karv with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Be'ezus Hashem, next time, next week, we will not have a shiur because it will be Hanukkah and a lot of people out of town, including maybe myself, but Be'ezus Hashem, in 2 weeks, we will continue on this idea of trying to figure out how a person should develop his yediyah that there's a Bayra Olam in this world.